White, J.E. White, Emma. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 11, 1902. My dear children Edson and Emma, I cannot sleep after 11:30, have not yet regained my strength. I have begun several letters to you, and have had to leave them partially completed. I shall try to finish this letter so that you will get something from me soon. I thank you for writing so faithfully. What you wrote regarding the purchase of the property in Hildebrand pleased both W.C. White and your mother. It is in accordance with what I have written regarding the way in which the work should be carried on, the way in which it will be carried on when all the workers labor in harmony. Well, I have just had 15 minutes sleep, and I feel better. I fell asleep while I was writing. I have something to say to you, Edson. I love you as a mother only can love a son. If you knew how it grieves me to hear you speak as you do sometimes, before Brother Palmer, about your brother, expressing yourself freely in disparaging criticisms, I know you would change. Frank Belden and many others have heard the words you have spoken against W.C. White. These words have exerted a wrong influence. I know W.C. White better than do you or anyone else. I know that your feelings are not just, that they are not reconcilable with Christian principles. I know how the Lord regards your brother and his work. I know that you might be tries to be as true to the Lord's work as the compass to the pole. He may err in judgment, but it is not right, it is unchristian, for one to express himself unfavorably regarding his brother. I must ask you to leave unsaid things that you imagine are true regarding your brother. Many times they are not as you represent them. I know what you do not know. To my certain knowledge, W.C. White has again and again tried to help you financially, when he himself was in great need of means, and I know that he has placed himself in any position of sacrifice to help the cause of God. I am deeply pained when I read letters from your hand speaking lightly of your brother and criticizing positions he has taken. You are in the habit of speaking hastily. For you to have so little control over your words makes me question your spiritual safety. The letter Frank Belden wrote was unjust, unfair, and impudent, and he wanted you to know its contents, to show you that he dared to speak to W.C. White as he supposed he deserved. These things come up before me in the night, and once awakened, I cannot sleep again. You well know that there have been mistakes in your life. Can you be surprised if there are fears that you are in danger, that you will make mistakes which will cause your brethren to lose confidence in you? I am in fear and trembling, lest you shall make unwise moves which will cause others to be tempted. By these moves your hopes will be disappointed, but that is not the worst. Those who have been watching you for some time will find occasion to represent you in a most unfavorable light. Then you will expect your mother to come to your help, and even if the Lord should present things to me to vindicate your case, as he has done, you know that it places me where the enemy can and will tempt souls to lose confidence in the light God desires his people to accept. The light God has given me is most sacred. It must not be overdrawn in any wise to sustain you before the conference. If the people get the idea that your mother's testimony, claimed to be from God, sustains the movements you have made and shall make, nothing will so strengthen doubt and throw a cloud over the testimonies God has given to warn and correct his people. For it does not appear, as they regard the matter, to be like the work of the Lord. From time to time, the Lord has given you encouragement. For this reason, you should be careful of your speech and wise unto righteousness. Your freedom and blessing in the gospel ministry will be a safeguard to you. When you present the Word of God to the people, you feel the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then you witness to the truth, giving it power. I beg of you not to engage in boat making or in any other business that the Lord has not called you to, for such a course will hedge up your way. It will cause reflections to be cast on you, and these reflections do not sweeten your disposition. The Lord desires you to abstain from even the appearance of evil. He will bless you in doing His will. For you to be a minister of the Word of God, it is necessary for you to make the Lord Jesus your daily strength, your all and in all. You and those connected with you in the work are to be as far as possible above criticism. You are to give evidence that you are worked by the Holy Spirit. I have felt it a positive necessity to use every means in my power to preserve a pure, spiritual atmosphere in my home. You have an opportunity to exert a precious, holy influence in your home, an influence that will be the gospel preached as well as practiced. From the light given me by the Lord, I know that you must guard against becoming overworked. Be as regular as possible at your meals, and avoid eating food that your stomach cannot take care of. You are not to make perplexity for yourself by gathering to yourself extra responsibilities. I have been instructed to give you a message of warning that at times you are greatly overtaxed. You need to guard against doing double labor without taking sufficient time for rest. You place yourself under too many burdens and overdraw on your store of strength, consuming more than you produce until nature will no longer bear the abuse placed upon her. Nervous prostration cripples the energies. The nerves and muscles will not obey, and you worry because you cannot do that which you desire to do. Brother Palmer is in the same danger that I have been shown you are in. You can both accomplish a large amount of valuable service if you will be faithful stewards over yourselves, if you will practice self-control by shortening the hours of labor and lengthening the hours of rest. Educate yourselves to work without rushing. Day by day, we are to be preparing for the better country. We are to dig deep and lay a sure foundation. My son, I want you and your brother to blend together. You are not alike in temperament, but nevertheless, you should harmonize. You and W.C. White can help me more by your words and deportment, by your Christian love and unity, than anyone else. And disagreements between you will have 100-fold more influence for harm than if you had no connection with me. I do hope that you will see the necessity of walking and working carefully, giving no occasion for your good to be evil spoken of. I want you both to stand in strict obedience to the Word of God, so that the enemy may not obtain any advantage over you. You must be one in mind and judgment. Do not think that you honor God by keeping as far apart as possible. Even though you both have to give up your own way, you are to be in harmony. Thus you will exert a strong influence for good. You and your brother are to respect each other. You will be tempted to disagree, for you differ in temperament. But if you will deal uprightly and carefully with each other, taking pains to help each other, God will bless you both. Your words should be strictly guarded. Keep the tongue under perfect control. Oh, how guarded you should be, not only now and then, but now and always. Never, by uncourteous words, give others occasion to think that you do not regard speaking sharp words as a sin. How terrible it would be to prejudice one soul against one of the Lord's appointed workmen by sharp words and suspicious suggestions. I meant to say this to you when I was with you, but I had not strength, and you had not time. I must now tell you that you need a reformation in mind and heart. Do not put the worst construction on the words and actions of others. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. In all that you do and say, preserve the dignity and grace of Christ. Do not allow one careless action to pass, even though it is done playfully. Remember that you are to represent the elevation and nobility of heaven. Christ says to you, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. My son, do not speak unadvisedly. When sanctification through the Word of God does its work on your heart, you will be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. My dear children, you are forming characters for the future life. You do have compassion on those who are exposed to temptation. You are readily touched with human woe. You have taken great satisfaction in relieving the necessities of the needy ones brought to your notice, whether these persons were black or white. The Lord knows that your character is not stamped with selfishness in this respect. Your quickness to see what must be done, your readiness to relieve the necessities of those in need of help, Your kind words and actions have opened doors of usefulness, which, had you not fed the hungry and clothed the naked, would have remained closed. Your efforts to uplift, your prayers and entreaties, have been blessed of God. You have come close to those in trouble, and the persuasive influence of your words has drawn many trembling souls to Christ. They have been greatly helped by your personal interest in them, as you have told them of your experience in danger. How, when your feet had well nigh slipped, the loving Savior stretched out his hand to save. Your gifts of books, as well as of food and clothing, have won hearts to you, so that your words have not been as idle tales. And you receive your reward by seeing those you have helped place their feet on the rock of ages, and engage in the work of imparting truth to others. I am drawn out to mention that which is commendable in your experience. But I wish to say at the same time, do not forget that daily you are to make improvement. The subject may present itself to your mind in this way: I must be a Christian because I desire to help others. But it will not do to take that ground. The desire to help others was born in you and was cultivated in you from your babyhood. My son, the Word of God is spirit and life. In obeying His commands, you will have great reward in this life and in the future life. In loving and reverencing Him, you will find constant happiness. You will experience the truth of His promises. You will realize that your Redeemer keeps you by His grace. A realization of how much your salvation cost will lead you to walk and work in humility and meekness. Wearing Christ's yoke and learning of Him, you will find rest to your soul. You need the influence of the Holy Spirit. You need to realize that every moment you are dependent on the power of Christ. Read carefully the third chapter of James. God's word is plain, His requirements clear and forcible. None need to mistake the way. In all of us, Christ may be formed, the hope of glory. If it is not possible to reach a state of perfect unity, why has God required it? Paul writes, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." God desires the different gifts He has entrusted to His servants to be blended in His work. "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10-13. All are not given the same work to do. For Paul declares, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verses 17-19. "I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verses 4-8.